Tim, how are you today, my friend?
Anytime, Scotty. I'm doing well. I'm doing well. I'm kids are back in school, so I have a second to breathe. Trying to get back to normal life here for however long that lasts.
I feel you, buddy. I feel you. I know exactly what that feels like. And part of that normal involves watching sports again and being excited and having that escape. And, you know, it's all baseball tonight. We don't have any of those other outlets like the NHL or the NBA. Jamal Murray was fantastic last night. Kawhi Leonard, the Clippers, they lose. To you, Tim McAuliffe, what was the biggest story last night? Was it Jamal Murray's excellence or was it Kawhi Leonard's failure with the Clippers?
As a guy who grew up an hour away from Kitchener, Ontario, as a guy who had Jamal Murray on the show before most Canadians knew who Jamal Murray was, and a guy who normally isn't the let's dance on someone losing's misfortune, I'm going to say Jamal Murray, but I completely understand those who are interested in Canadian basketball, who are Raptor fans, and who are, I told you, so-ing Kawhi Leonard today, even though I don't know that Kawhi Leonard thought when he went to the Clippers that he was going to a better team. And I think that's kind of been lost on this. So I'll say Jamal Murray, but I will say this. The people who are loving the fact that Kawhi Leonard is out because he left the Raptors, like, don't assume that Kawhi Leonard went home to be on a better team. Assume that Kawhi Leonard went home, period.
Yes, we're in the same place. And when you have confidence in your organization.
We are way too often in the same place, you and me.
I know.
Nicole.
I know. And I'm sorry about that.
Boring.
But I sit there, well, not necessarily. We disagree on some things, believe you me. But I sit there and I watch it all pour on social media last night. And there's, I'm with you, Tim. I understand it. But there's also the part of me that says, just get over it. The man delivered a championship. He chose to go somewhere else. You've got a great organization. Focus on that instead of reveling in someone else's misfortune.
Yeah, focus on what he brought, not what he left. That's kind of what I've been trying to say the entire time. I get it. I understand it. You wanted to see, if you're a Raptors fan and Kawhi stays, you're the favorite to win again. And if you are in the playoffs with Kawhi Leonard and going to seven against Boston, you win that series. And you probably, I think, you know, I don't know what the Lakers are. They're LeBron James and they're Anthony Davis. And I think we've seen teams start to win again in the NBA. And that to me is exciting. And I think if Kawhi Leonard's on the Raptors, they're the favorite to win it all. And I know that LeBron has smashed the Raptors in the past. But I think it would have been different this time around, and it's too bad. So I get why fans are pissed off, but the ones that are saying, I told you so, I don't know what you're telling Kawhi Leonard. Like, have you not watched this dude's career? He's not like anybody else. He did not go and say, I'm going to a better team. He said, I'm going home. And he got 2 years to win a championship there, but he's already got a couple, so... I don't know what the I told you so is for, other than to make you feel better.
Jamal Murray's not going home. He gets to play in the next round. And last year we saw him go head-to-head with Damian Lillard. And Lillard and the Portland Trailblazers got over. And at the time there was a question of comparison, and everybody agreed, hey, Damian Lillard is the better player. Can Jamal Murray get to that tier? With what he's done in these playoffs, specifically in elimination games, is Jamal Murray at that level now? Is he at Damian Lillard level?
Oof. This is the argument that I continually have with myself and I have with friends around me. Is Damian Lillard a winner?
I think he is.
Do we know that Damian Lillard is a winner? Is Damian Lillard, like, unless you're LeBron James, being a great superstar doesn't mean a hell of a lot. Even Kawhi Leonard, who we watched last year win a championship and had people say that he won the championship on his own, didn't we realize today that he needed more around him than he had in L.A.? Like, didn't we realize that there might have been more around him in Toronto than we even recognized last year? And for me, Jamal Murray might not be as good a basketball player as Damian Lillard, but he might win more. And when we have these conversations about the superstar, what always is the determining factor when we're splitting the hairs of greatness? It's championships. It's wins. Like, it's an interesting time in basketball because you and I both will probably say that one of our favorite players of all time is Steve Nash. He never made an NBA Finals. But when you're splitting the hairs of greatness, it's probably what keeps Steve Nash out of the best point guard of all time conversation, is that he didn't win a championship, and he didn't get over the top, and his teams weren't good enough. And so I look at Damian Lillard and I think, man, that guy's really good, but is he a superstar? Like, doesn't he have to win more to be a legitimate top five in the game superstar? And Jamal Murray, with a team around him, is right now going to take that extra step, though I don't know that he has Damian Lillard's talent. He might have the team around him, and he might learn to be a bit of a more of a winner because he has that team around him. Does that make any sense to you?
No, it totally does, and that's why I find it such a fascinating conversation. Tim McAuliffe with us here this morning on the Scott Rentoul Show, because one of the like qualities about Damian Lillard, Jamal Murray, and the guy I'm going to bring into this conversation, Jimmy Butler, though he's in a different age category, is that they want the ball in crunch time. They're afraid of no one. And that's why I find it such a fascinating conversation. And Jimmy Butler, if you ask around NBA circles, hey, who are your top 10 players? Jimmy Butler probably doesn't make anybody's list. But if I ask you who your top 10 playoff players are, Jimmy Butler probably makes his way into the conversation, doesn't he?
Yeah. Jimmy Butler is one of my favorites because he's blown up situations because he gets mad at other people that don't work as hard as him. Like, imagine that. Imagine, and was he right in Minnesota when we look back in hindsight? Probably.
Yep.
Was he right in Philadelphia when we look back in hindsight? Probably. Like, this guy's a real jerk. Why is he a jerk? Because he demands people work hard. I love Jimmy Butler, and you're right, and he's not afraid of anything. And when I looked at Philadelphia, and I wish it had have been a healthy Philadelphia that got swept, so no one would give the excuses that were given because they were banged up. But I thought they lost a massive piece when they lost Jimmy Butler. And Jamal Murray definitely has that. And I don't like using the term because people get upset about it, but he's a killer. The conscience that other people have in that moment, the lack of confidence. Man, you and I saw it in the Pan Am Games when he was just a kid. Like, and Canada beat the United States, and Jamal Murray put on a show. It was just like, oh my goodness, like this is something different. And there was a lot more hype about other guys when that was going on for Jamal Murray. And I think he's never shied away from that. And if you know anything about his past, his dad's a black belt, and his dad's a guy who, you know, made him make 100 free throws before he went in the house, like that kind of thing, you understand why Jamal Murray has a different mindset. And, you know, it's not like he went, you know, 40, 50, 50, 30, 30. Like he had some games where he struggled in this series, but when it mattered the most, man, was he good. And if I had told you at the start of this playoffs, Scotty, that Jamal Murray would outscore Paul George and Kawhi Leonard combined in a game seven, I'm not sure you would have believed me.
Throw chicken wing in there, too. Add Lou Williams total, and he still beats that with his 40 last night.
Yeah, lemon pepper. Is that what he's Lou Williams is already focusing on the most important things that he needs to. I think he's trying to patent some sort of phrase with lemon pepper Lou.
Yes, he is. I saw that come across the wire while I was doing this show today.
Priorities, Lou.
Hey, man. Got to take care of the brand. You got to take care of the brand. Tim McAuliffe joined me here this morning. Okay, quickly before we transition to another sport, Jamal Murray and the block that Kawhi Leonard made on him earlier in the series, or Bam Adebayo last night on Jason Tatum, better block?
I'm going to give it to Bam because of the circumstances surrounding it. They're both really similar, but the Bam is so big at the time. They needed it. It was desperation, and it wasn't I guess, I mean, Kawhi was that important at that time. Maybe if they finish that, I'll go Kawhi, but Bam's is just, and I love Bam. I mean, he's another guy who's worked his way into being a really, really good player. And that team last night, I mean, who would have thought, like Goran Dragic led him in scoring last night. But we're talking about Bam and Jimmy Butler. Like, that's a team to me. You got Kelly Olynyk coming off the bench. That's a team to me. They're really good, and they got a lot of players who can hit you hard, and Bam's one of them.
Yeah, they're a really fun team to watch. I hope they make it to the NBA final, specifically because of the Olynyk angle as well. You're a big Canadian athletes everywhere. Let's promote them as much as we can. So how fired up did the nationalist in you get when you watch Chase Claypool making plays on Monday Night Football?
Yeah, I heard you had Jim Mullen on the show. That's, you know, it's, listen, people in Abbotsford knew what this kid was about, and it took him a while to get his confidence at Notre Dame, but when you saw the end of his tenure at Notre Dame, you realized, like, this is next level now. Like, he's, I don't know what clicked in his brain, but something clicked, and to watch him go in there, make that first career catch that was absolutely ridiculous along the sidelines. And then after the game, I don't know if you heard, but they were talking to Ben Roethlisberger after the game, and he said, we've seen that Chase can make these plays. Like, and that's a team that understand, like, for what they are, they understand how to draft players and develop players, and they've done it for decades, and they've done it really well for decades in Pittsburgh. And when I saw a guy in Chase Claypool who does, you know, a lot of things right on the football field, who, despite being Notre Dame's maybe the best receiver that they had in his senior year, was still covering punts. I thought this is the perfect fit when he was drafted in Pittsburgh. In fact, I tweeted that. And I think you're going to see him really develop as this year goes along. And when you think of the receivers that they have developed that maybe didn't come in with the hype, Antonio Brown being one of them, Juju Smith-Schuster being one of them, they've done it with defensive player after defensive player. I mean, where do they draft T.J. Watt? And how good is he right now? This is a team that drafts and develops well, and I wouldn't be surprised if by the end of this year we don't see, you know, 5-6 of those a game from Claypool instead of the 2 that we saw in game 1.
Yeah, it's part of the reason. I'm no Steelers fan, but it's part of the reason I was so excited about him getting drafted there, because of that history you mentioned and what they've done with receivers. And when they take guys who are a piece of clay, pardon the pun here, they mold them into stars in this league. And with his body type, Tim, and I know people, they saw what his weight was at the combine, they went, oh, maybe this guy's a tight end. Nah, this guy can play receiver, and whether it's the slot or outside, this guy can play that position.
Right, and that's what Pittsburgh's done so well, is that they've taken football players. Like, there are guys who play football, and there are football players. And Claypool proved that he was a football player, and I think that's why Pittsburgh took him. And when Pittsburgh takes football players, they put them in the position to succeed. They understand strengths. And I think Claypool's strength is all over the field. And if you want, like, listen, there are people, there are probably 10 teams that would have made him a tight end. And maybe he might have been successful there. But what Pittsburgh does that no one else does, and I studied this because they're a model franchise, and I always love to look at model franchises and figure out how they've done it. And what Pittsburgh does is they put that person in the right, whether it's Greg Lloyd at outside linebacker in a 3-4 defense, Kevin Green, Juju Smith-Schuster, and what they do is they say, what is this guy good at? Let's put him in the spot that he's really good at. And Claypool can go outside, do what he did on that first catch, where he's just one-on-one on the DB, or you can put him in the slot and run him against the linebacker, and he's probably going to outrun that linebacker. Pittsburgh does that so well that when they drafted him, and I already studied that, I knew that this was a really good spot for him, and that if he has the open mind that they no doubt would bring to him, that he could really succeed in this league. And from what I've seen so far and the way the other Steelers are talking about him, it seems like it's the perfect fit.
The best players in every sport do that as well. And Russell Wilson with his receivers over the last number of years, I think we would both put into that category. This might be the most talented group he has as far as weapons go on his offense. He had a phenomenal week 1. Can Russell Wilson take it to even another level this year if they come out and throw the ball early?
I'm at risk of mushing the Seattle Seahawks to many of the fans that are populating your fan base in Vancouver. Every year I'll find one or two teams that I like to dabble. I will sprinkle a little bit of money on just to see that maybe other people aren't seeing as clearly as I have. One of the teams that I'll say this, I did it on the Utah Jazz. Didn't work out so well for me. But the other team I did it with was the Denver Nuggets. And if the Denver Nuggets win the NBA championship, I'm going to be a happy man. But I did it with the Seattle Seahawks as well, because I didn't think that people were seeing enough value in that team because of, you know, the division they play in, because San Fran was coming off where San Fran was coming off of. And I just looked at that team and I saw an opportunity there with weapons for Russell Wilson. I think this is a really good team. And I think Russell's made – a lot of people don't look at the transition that Russell has gone through. I mean, when you think of his early success, he wasn't asked to be a game-changing quarterback. He was asked to be a really good quarterback. And you have to grow in – most quarterbacks have to grow into – becoming the game changer. And I think over the last couple of years, we've seen Russell realize that that's what he has to be for Seattle to be good. And he's good enough to do that now. And it was great early on. You know, they were going, they were a Super Bowl contending team. And I think in his first year, he didn't have to throw for over 225 yards or something in any of those games in the playoffs to have the success that they had. But now you're seeing him grow into like legit elite quarterback, and we kind of forget what he went through. And this is just, I'm with you. I think that this is the next step in the evolution of Russell Wilson, the quarterback, and we all know he's elite now. And I think we're all going to see him kind of be unleashed here.
31 of 35 for 322, four touchdowns,
not bad.
Picks. He was just named the NFC Player of the Week for the 10th time in his career. Not bad at all. Hey, no. Man.
And that confidence will take him through the rest of the year, too, right? Like, that's the first step. Now let's see the rest of them.
Yeah, there's going to be a bunch. You're right. Tim, do your best to calm Sid down today, okay?
He's gonna be dancing on Kawhi today. Tune in.
Oh, I know he is. I heard the lead up yesterday, so he was already calling a shot. He's getting ready, man. Have fun. Yeah. Thanks for doing
this. All right, man. Be well, Scotty.